Hi, Bay Memory here. This is For the Record program number 949. Walking the Snake with Breitbart, part 2. This is being recorded on March 9th of the year 2017. For decades, I have been discussing the book Serpent's Walk. That is a book that was published by National Vanguard Books. That is the publishing arm of the National Alliance, one of the most important domestic Nazi groups, and not incidentally, one of the Nazi and white supremacist groups successfully represented by Glenn Greenwald when he was an attorney. Greenwald ran legal interference blocking National Alliance and National Vanguard Books from civil suits that would be directed at them for advocating violence and public mayhem. That is exactly what books like Hunter and the Turner Diaries do. They advocate public mayhem. They can now do so with civic impunity, thanks to Citizen Greenwald. The book Serpent's Walk is described on its back cover. It is authored by someone who writes under the name Randolph D. Calverhall, C-A-L-V-E-R-H-A-L-L. And the subject of the book is described on the back cover. Quoting from that, speaking of Serpent's Walk, it assumes that Hitler's warrior elite, the SS, didn't give up their struggle for a white world when they lost the Second World War. Instead, the survivors went underground and adopted some of the tactics of their enemies. They began building their economic muscle and buying into the opinion-forming media. A century after the war, they are ready to challenge the Democrats and Jews for the hearts and minds of white Americans who have begun to have their fill of government-enforced multiculturalism and equality, unquote. For many years, I have been talking about my belief that that book is far from just a novel, unquote, that in fact it is actually a blueprint, a manifesto for what the underground Reich is doing. We know that the SS did indeed go underground at the end of World War II. Many of the most important elements jumping to CIA and the Republican Party and other powerful institutions. We also know that in the body of the Bormann Flight Capital Network, they began building up their economic muscle into what one financial expert called the largest concentration of money power under a single control in all of world history. They have indeed been buying into the opinion-forming media with institutions like Bertelsmann, the publishing house of the SS, now having double the sales volume of any other English-language publishing outfit, and with money channeled through God knows how many other institutions into various aspects of the opinion-forming media. A key element of Donald Trump's successful campaign and a very important element of his cabinet are the people who have come from Breitbart. That's B-R-E-I-T-B-A-R-T. It is a quote, alt-right, unquote, read Nazi and fascist. But those are words you can't say anymore here in Newspeak America. So let's use alt-right because that's acceptable. Alt-right, yeah, indeed. The Breitbart, actually no news speaker, Breitbart is the fascist slash Nazi white supremacist website, and of course they would disclaim being any of those things, that is the vehicle through which Steve Bannon, a consummately important and very brilliant individual, far more intelligent and far more sophisticated than his critics give him credit for being. That's part of his success. As he noted in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, darkness is good. Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan, that's power. It always helps us when they're blind to who we are and what we are doing. And really, that holds. Steve Bannon has some really interesting philosophical influences. We'll talk more about that in an upcoming show. Among them, Julius Evola, a fascist philosopher who found, although he influenced Mussolini, he ultimately found the Italian fascists to be a little too tame for his taste and hooked up in a big way with the SS. We talked about that in For the Record 947, recapping, among other pieces of information, discussion from For the Record 233, Kevin Coogan's conceptualization of the order. Steve Bannon was Trump's campaign manager. He is a key element of the Trump administration, arguably the most important person on Trump's National Security Council, and has organized something that is sort of a parallel NSC, featuring, among others, another Breitbart alumnus, a Hungarian fascist named Sebastian Gorka, G-O-R-K-A. Hailing back to the roots of the Horthy and Arrow Cross fascist governments in Hungary that were allied with Hitler, Sebastian Gorka is in charge of he's the point man in charge of counter-jihadism for the Trump administration. And again, this basically is a more or less outright Hungarian fascist. Breitbart itself has become a major element of the opinion-forming media, as Serpents Walk talks about it. And in For the Record 946, we discussed a company called Cambridge Analytica, whose main capital backer is a very secretive and brilliant computer scientist named Robert Mercer. The suspicion in these quarters is that if one could unravel his financial heritage, one would find that he has been capitalized with Bormann money, then utilizing his extraordinary abilities has multiplied that many times. Again, that is conjecture. He is a secretive slash reclusive billionaire. Those are characteristics of people of the Bormann Network. They look to stay out of the spotlight even as they determine who is to be centered by the spotlight, who is to be highlighted by the media spotlight, or as Serpents Walk put it, the opinion-forming media. In a very real sense, the opinion-forming media in this country and much of the West is now in the process of falling victim to its own folly, frankly, or its own tragic shortcoming. During the Cold War, the media in this country got in the habit of lying like big dogs whenever any sensitive issue vis-a-vis the Cold War came up. And finally, as Mort Saul observed in that's political comedian Mort Saul, one of Jim Garrison's investigators, he observed the quote, how many lies, in his autobiography, Heartland, he observed, how many lies can you allow yourself to believe before you belong to the lie? And the mainstream media now certainly belong to the lie. I think the worm turned in a decisive way on November 22nd, 1963, and when not just the mainstream media, but the so-called progressive media as well, decided they weren't going to talk about that, they signed ultimately their own, the death warrant of their own credibility. And now the mainstream media, like the so-called progressive media, belong to the lie. Where we will in times coming talk about St. Bernard, Bernie Sanders, whom I have long suspected was a ringer, literally a cat's paw, within the Democratic Party for at one level, people like Karl Rove and Grover Norquist, and at a deeper level, the underground Reich. Bernie Sanders has a background as a presidential elector in 1980, not that long ago, for the Socialist Workers' Party. That's not only a communist party, but specifically a Trotskyite political party. The Socialist Workers' Party was so infiltrated by explicit Nazi elements and U.S. intelligence operatives, some of them wearing both hats, including, by the way, Lee Harvey Oswald, that it would not be unrealistic to describe the Socialist Workers' Party as, in effect, little more than an intelligence front. If you stood in the Socialist Workers' Party in one of their meetings and threw a rock in the air, the chances are 9 out of 10 that that rock would come down on either a Nazi, a spook, or maybe someone wearing both hats. With Karl Rove helped to finance Bernie Sanders' campaign, and with Grover Norquist protégés like Faisal Gill now moving up in the Vermont Democratic Party, I think the stage is set for the criminalization, ultimately at least the very discrediting, to a fundamental level, of the Democratic Party. And I think the Breitbart Axis, and I mean that quite literally, are part of that. However, more about that in future broadcasts. Suffice it to say that criticizing Bernie Sanders or anyone else in the so-called progressive sector, no matter how richly justified that criticism is not acceptable to the so-called progressive media, who, just like the mainstream media, now belong to the lie. They have marketed so many lies that now they belong to it. They won't be able to raise money for their fundraising marathons and pay everybody's bills or salaries unless they continue with the lie.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. Long article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs are available at spitfirelist.com. Also featuring information that wasn't in the original program due to the limitations of time.
As you listen to the following article, part of which I read into the record in For the Record 948, all of which I'm going to read into the record in 949, keep several things in mind. First and foremost, Serpent's Walk, where the underground Reich buys into the opinion forming media, and things like Breitbart are nothing if not the opinion-forming media, and they use that influence to ultimately challenge the Democrats and Jews for the hearts and minds of white Americans who have begun to have their fill of multiculturalism and government-enforced equality, as Serpent's Walk puts it. And playing into this is the fact that so many lies have been told by the mainstream media and by the so-called progressive media that at this point they really have no one to blame but themselves when people no longer take them seriously. And that is very sad indeed, because if ever there was a time for truth-telling, it is right now. Bear in mind how Breitbart has served as a vehicle for the elevation of Steve Bannon and Sebastian Gorka, quote, alt-right read Nazis to be at the top of the American government. And note again the secretive and brilliant far-right billionaire and computer scientist Robert Mercer, who is the key financial angel behind Cambridge Analytica, that has much to do with Facebook, much to do with Google. Steve Bannon is Robert and Rebecca Mercer's political guru, and the application of contemporary high tech, including artificial intelligence, to the, quote, opinion-forming media, unquote, as Serpent's Walk put it, is front and center. Everybody's talking about how stupid Trump is or how crazy he is. Well, he certainly is a piece of work But I would ask, really, who is stupid? The people who cannot see how Trump has achieved what he has achieved, or even what has been achieved. Ultimately, it would not surprise me if the deep state manages to maneuver Trump out of the top spot. The guy they really want, I think, is Mike Pence. And so, as I said in a recent speaking engagement, swapping out Donald Trump for Mike Pence is like swapping out Frankenstein's monster for Count Dracula. They're actually a little better with Frankenstein's monster, whom you can at least theoretically kill. By that, I don't mean assassinate, lest I mean this one, but I mean politically destroy. Mike Pence has all of the evil without any of the weirdness and foibles of Donald Trump, and I think he's the man who may very well be calling a lot of the shots now, and ultimately, even if they manage to maneuver Trump out of power, they're going to get Mike Pence, rather like having Gerald Ford after Richard Nixon was removed in the Watergate affair. So again, remember Serpent's Walk. Remember big capital from the SS going into the opinion-forming media and changing the hearts and minds of white Americans, as Serpent's Walk puts it, who had begun to have their fill, challenge the Democrats and Jews for the hearts and minds of white America, who had begun to have their fill of multiculturalism and government-enforced equality. That is what is happening right now. And here is how it is happening. From the British Guardian of February 26th, 2017, a very important story by Carol, C-A-R-O-L-E, Cadwallader, C-A-D-W-A-L-L-A-D-R, Robert Mercer. The big data billionaire waging war on mainstream media, and it reads as follows. With the subhead, with links to Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, and Nigel Farage, parenthetically of Brexit, the right-wing U.S. computer scientist is at the heart of a multi-million dollar propaganda network. Just over a week ago, Donald Trump gathered members of the world's press before him and told them they were liars. Quote, "The press, honestly, is out of control," he said. "The public doesn't believe you anymore," unquote. CNN was described as very fake news. Story after story is bad. The BBC was another beauty, unquote. That night, I did two things. First, I typed Trump, unquote, in the search box of Twitter. My feed was reporting that he was crazy, a lunatic, a raving madman. But that was not how it was playing out elsewhere. The results produced a stream of "Go Donald" and "You show 'em." There were star-spangled banner emojis and thumbs-up emojis and clips of Trump laying into the fake news MSM liars, unquote. Trump had spoken and his audience had heard him. Then I did what I've been doing for 2.5 months now. I Googled "mainstream media is," unquote. And there it was. Google's autocomplete suggestions. Mainstream media is dead, dying, fake news, fake, finished, unquote. Is it dead, I wonder? Has fake news won? Are we now the fake news? Is the mainstream media, we, us, I, dying? I click Google's first suggested link. It leads to a website called CNSnews.com and an article, "The Mainstream Media Are Dead," unquote. They're dead, I learned, because they, we, I, cannot be trusted, unquote. How had it, an obscure site I've never heard of, dominated Google's search algorithm on the topic? In the About Us tab, I learned CNS News is owned by the Media Research Center, which a click later I learned is America's media watchdog, unquote. An organization that claims an unwavering commitment to neutralizing left-wing bias in the news, media, and popular culture. Another couple of clicks, and I discovered that it receives a large bulk of its funding, more than $10 million in the past decade, from a single source, the hedge fund billionaire Robert Mercer. If you follow U.S. politics, you may recognize the name. Robert Mercer is the money behind Donald Trump. But then I will come to learn Robert Mercer is the money behind an awful lot of things. He was Trump's single biggest donor. Mercer started backing Ted Cruz, but when he fell out of the presidential race, he threw his money, $13.5 million of it, behind the Trump campaign. It's money he's made as a result of his career as a brilliant but reclusive, note that that's characteristic of Borman operatives, computer scientist. He started his career at IBM, where he made what the Association for Computational Linguistics called revolutionary, unquote, breakthroughs in language processing, a science that went on to be key in developing today's artificial intelligence. And later, Mercer became joint CEO of Renaissance Technologies, a hedge fund that makes its money by using algorithms to model and trade on the financial markets. One of its funds, Medallion, which manages only its employees' money, is the most successful in the world, generating $55 billion so far. And since 2010, Mercer has donated $45 million to different political campaigns, all Republican, and another $50 million to nonprofits, all right-wing, all ultra-conservative. This is a billionaire who is, as billionaires are wont, trying to reshape the world according to his personal beliefs. Robert Mercer very rarely speaks in public and never to journalists, so to gauge his beliefs, you have to look at where he channels his money. A series of yachts, all called Sea Owl, a $2.9 million model train set, climate change denial. He funds a climate change denial think tank, the Heartland Institute, and what is maybe the ultimate rich man's plaything, the disruption of the mainstream media. In this, he is helped by his close associate Steve Bannon, Trump's campaign manager and now chief strategist. The money he gives to the Media Research Center with its mission of correcting liberal bias, unquote, is just one of Mercer's media plays. There are other, bigger, and even more deliberate strategies, and shining brightly the star at the center of the Mercer media galaxy is Breitbart. It was $10 million of Mercer's money that enabled Bannon to fund Breitbart, a right-wing news site set up with the express intention of being a Huffington Post for the right. It has launched the careers of Milo Yiannopoulos and his like, regularly hosts anti-Semitic and Islamophobic views, and is currently being boycotted by more than 1,000 brands after an activist campaign. It has been phenomenally successful, the 29th most popular site in America with 2 billion page views a year. It's bigger than its inspiration, the Huffington Post, bigger even than Pornhub. It's the biggest political site on Facebook, by the way, Cambridge Analytica of Mercer and Bannon Heritage is deeply involved with Facebook. Beginning again, it's the biggest political site on Facebook, the biggest political site on Twitter. Prominent right-wing journalist Andrew Breitbart, who founded the site but died in 2012, told Bannon they had, quote, to take back the culture, unquote. In other words, be ready to challenge the Democrats and Jews for the hearts and minds of white Americans who had begun to have their fill of multiculturalism and government-enforced equality, unquote, as Serpent's Walk put it. Continuing, and arguably, they have done just that, though American culture is only the start of it. In 2014, Bannon launched Breitbart London, telling the New York Times it was specifically timed ahead of the UK's forthcoming election. It was, he said, the latest front, quote, in our current cultural and political war, unquote. France and Germany are next. But there was another reason why I recognized Robert Mercer's name, because of his connection to Cambridge Analytica, a small data analytics company. He is reported to have a $10 million stake in the company, which was spun out of a bigger British company called SCL Group. SCL Group specializes in, quote, election management strategies, unquote, and, quoting, messaging and information operations, unquote, refined over 25 years in places like Afghanistan and Pakistan. In military circles, this is known as PSYOPs, psychological operations, mass propaganda that works by acting on people's emotions. Cambridge Analytica worked for the Trump campaign, and so I read the Leave/Brexit campaign as well. When Mercer supported Cruz, Cambridge Analytica worked with Cruz. When Robert Mercer started supporting Trump, Cambridge Analytica came too. And where Mercer's money is, Steve Bannon is usually close by. It was reported that until recently, he had a seat on the board. That is to say, the board of directors of Cambridge Analytica. We covered that in For the Record 946. He is, Bannon that is the political guru for Robert and his wife, Rebecca Mercer. Continuing. Last December, I wrote about Cambridge Analytica in a piece about how Google's search results on certain subjects were being dominated by right-wing and extremist sites. Jonathan Albright, A-L-B-R-I-G-H-T, a professor of communications at Elon University, North Carolina, who had mapped the news ecosystem and found millions of links between right-wing sites, quote, strangling, unquote, the mainstream media, told me that trackers from sites like Breitbart could also be used by companies like Cambridge Analytica to follow people around the web and then, via Facebook, target them with ads. So in addition to Facebook and Google, deeply influenced by Cambridge Analytica, and behind that, Steve Bannon. Continuing. On its website, Cambridge Analytica makes the astonishing boast that it has psychological profiles based on 5,000 separate pieces of data on 220 million American voters. Its USP is to use this data to understand people's deepest emotions and then target them accordingly. The system, according to Albright, amounted to a propaganda machine, unquote. A few weeks later, The Observer received a letter. Cambridge Analytica was not employed by the Leave campaign. It said Cambridge Analytica, quote, is a U.S. company based in the U.S. It hasn't worked in British politics, unquote. Which is how earlier this week I ended up in Pret-a-Manger near Westminster with Andy Wigmore, W-I-G-M-O-R-E, Leave.eu's affable communications director, looking at snapshots of Donald Trump on his phone. It was Wigmore who orchestrated Nigel Farage's trip to Trump Tower, the PR coup that saw him become the first foreign politician to meet the president-elect. Wigmore scrolls through the snaps on his phone. That's the one I took, he says, pointing at the now globally famous photo of Farage and Trump in front of his golden elevator door, giving the thumbs-up sign. Wigmore was one of the bad boys of Brexit, unquote, a term coined by Aaron Banks, the Bristol-based businessman who was Leave.eu's co-founder. Cambridge Analytica have worked for them, he said. It taught them how to build profiles, how to target people, and how to scoop up masses of data from people's Facebook profiles. A video on YouTube shows one of Cambridge Analytica's and SCL's employees, Brittany Kaiser, K-A-I-S-E-R, sitting on the panel at Leave.eu's launch event. Facebook was the key to the entire campaign, Wigmore explained. A Facebook like, he said, was their most potent weapon, unquote. Because using artificial intelligence as we did tells you all sorts of things about that individual and how to convince them with what sort of advertising. And you knew there would also be other people in their network who liked what they liked so you could spread. And then you follow them. The computer never stops learning, and it never stops monitoring. It sounds creepy, I say. It is creepy. It's really creepy. That's why I'm not on Facebook. I tried it on myself to see what information it had on me, and I was like, oh, my God. What's scary is that my kids had put things on Instagram, and it picked that up. It knew where my kids went to school. They hadn't employed Cambridge Analytica, he said. No money changed hands. They were happy to help. Why? Quote, because Nigel, Farage that is a good friend of the Mercers, and Mercer introduced them to us. He said, here's this company we think may be useful to you. What they were trying to do in the U.S. and what we were trying to do had massive parallels. We shared a lot of information. Why wouldn't you? Behind Trump's campaign and Cambridge Analytica, he said, were the same people. It's the same family. One more time for emphasis. We shared a lot of information. Why wouldn't you? Behind Trump's campaign and Cambridge Analytica, he said, were the same people. It's the same family, unquote. There were already a lot of questions swirling around Cambridge Analytica, and Andy Wigmore has opened up a whole lot more. Such as, are you supposed to declare services in kind as some sort of donation? The Electoral Commission says yes. If it was more than £7,500 and was it declared, the Electoral Commission says no. Does that mean a foreign billionaire had possibly influenced the referendum without that influence being apparent? It's certainly a question worth asking, parenthetically, with Karl Rove's American Crossroads Super PAC having channeled money to Bernie Sanders' primary campaign. I think similar questions need to be asked about the wave, unquote, of small anonymous donations that helped to finance the Bernard Sanders campaign. Continuing. In the last month or so, articles in first the Swiss and the U.S. press have asked exactly what Cambridge Analytica is doing with U.S. voters' data. In the statement to the Observer, the Information Commissioner's Office said, quote, any business collecting and using personal data in the U.K. must do so fairly and lawfully. We will be contacting Cambridge Analytica and asking questions to find out how the company is operating in the U.K. and whether the law is being followed, unquote. Cambridge Analytica said last Friday they are in touch with the ICO and are completely compliant with UK and EU data laws. It did not answer other questions the Observer put to it this week about how it built its psychometric model, which owes its origins to original research carried out by scientists at Cambridge University's Psychometric Center, research based on a personality quiz on Facebook that went viral. More than 6 million people ended up doing it, producing an astonishing treasure trove of data. These Facebook profiles, especially people's likes, could be correlated across millions of others to produce uncannily accurate results. Michael Kosinski, K-O-S-I-N-S-K-I, the center's lead scientist, found that with knowledge of 150 likes, their model could predict someone's personality better than their spouse. With 300 likes, it understood you better than you understood yourself. Quote, computers, and this should have in parentheses, artificial intelligence, computers see us in a more robust way than we see ourselves, says Kosinski. But there are strict ethical regulations regarding what you can do with this data. Did SCL Group have access to the university's model or data? I asked Professor Jonathan Rust, RUST, the center's director. Certainly not from us, he says. We have very strict rules around this, unquote. A scientist, Alexander Kogan from the center, was contracted to build a model for SCL, and he says he collected his own data. Professor Rust says he doesn't know where Kogan's data came from. The evidence was contrary. I reported it, unquote. An independent adjudicator was appointed by the university, quote, but then Kogan said he'd signed a non-disclosure agreement with SCL and he couldn't continue answering questions, unquote. Kogan disputes this and says SCL satisfied the university's inquiries. But perhaps more than anyone, Professor Rust understands how the kind of information people freely give up to social media sites could be used. Quote, the danger of not having regulation around the sort of data you can get from Facebook and elsewhere is clear. With this, a computer can actually do psychology. It can predict and potentially control human behavior. It's what the Scientologists try to do, but much more powerful. It's how you brainwash someone. It is incredibly dangerous. It is no exaggeration to say that minds can be changed. Behavior can be predicted and controlled. I find it incredibly scary. I really do, because nobody has really followed through on the possible consequences of all of this. People don't know it's happening to them. Their attitudes are being changed behind their backs, unquote. Mercer invested in Cambridge Analytica, the Washington Post reported, driven in part by an assessment that the right was lacking sophisticated technology capabilities. But in many ways, it's what Cambridge Analytica's parent company does that raises even more questions. Emma Bryant, a propaganda specialist at the University of Sheffield, wrote about SCL Group in her 2015 book, Propaganda and Counterterrorism, Strategies for Global Change. Cambridge Analytica has the technological tools to affect behavioral and psychological change, she said, but it's SCL that strategizes it. It has specialized at the highest level for NATO, for the British Ministry of Defense, the U.S. State Department, and others in changing the behavior of large groups. It models mass populations, and then it changes their beliefs. SCL was founded by someone called Nigel Oakes, O-A-K-E-S, who worked for Saatchi and Saatchi, that's S-A-A-T-C-H-I, on Margaret Thatcher's image, says Bryant, and the company had been, quote, making money out of the propaganda side of the war on terrorism over a long period of time. There are different arms of SCL, but it's all about reach and the ability to shape the discourse. They are trying to amplify particular political narratives, and they are selective in who they go for. They are not doing this for the left, unquote. In the course of the U.S. election, Cambridge Analytica amassed a database, as it claims on its website, of almost the entire U.S. voting population, 220 million people. And the Washington Post reported last week that SEL was increasing staffing at its Washington office and competing for lucrative new contracts with Trump's administration. Quote, "It seems significant that a company involved in engineering a political outcome profits from what follows, particularly if it's the manipulation and then resolution of fear," unquote, says Bryant. "It's the database and what may happen to it that particularly exercises Paul Olivier Dehaye, capital D-E-H-A-Y-E, a Swiss mathematician and data activist who has been investigating Cambridge Analytica and SCL for more than a year. How is it going to be used?" he says. "Is it going to be used to try and manipulate people around domestic policies or to foment conflict between different communities? It is potentially very scary. People just don't understand the power of this data and how it can be used against them," unquote. There are two things potentially going on simultaneously: the manipulation of information on a mass level and the manipulation of information at a very individual level, both based on the latest understandings in science about how people work and enabled by technological platforms built to bring us together. "Are we living in a new era of propaganda?" I asked Emma Bryant. "One we can't see and that is working on us in ways we can't understand, where we can only react emotionally to its messages?" Quote, "Definitely. That's the way that surveillance through technology is so pervasive, the collection and use of our data is so much more sophisticated, it's totally covert, and people don't realize what is going on," unquote. Public mood and politics goes through cycles. "You don't have to subscribe to any conspiracy theory," Bryant says, "to see that a mass change in public sentiment is happening, or that some of the tools in action are straight out of the military's or SCL's playbook. But then there's increasing evidence that our public arenas, the social media sites where we post our holiday snaps or make comments about the news, are a new battlefield where international geopolitics is playing out in real time. It's a new age of propaganda. But whose?" This week, Russia announced the formation of a new branch of the military, Information Warfare Troops. Sam Woolley of the Oxford Internet Institute's Computational Propaganda Institute tells me that one-third of all traffic on Twitter before the EU referendum was automated, quote, bots, unquote. Accounts that are programmed to look like people, to act like people, and to change the conversation, to make topics trend. And all of the bots were for leave. Before the U.S. election, they were 5-1 in favor of Trump, many of those of Russian or ostensible Russian origin. Last week, they had been in action in the Stoke by-election. Russian bots organized by who? Attacking Paul Nuttall. By the way, before this article came out, the notion that this is all, quote, Russian, unquote, is to be taken with a huge grain of salt. One of the things that CIA, manipulating technology, has done is to enable the false electronic fingerprinting of, quote, Russian, unquote, cyber warfare. I strongly suspect that's going on here.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal. specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
Continuing. You can take a trending topic such as fake news and then weaponize it, turn it against the media that uncovered it. Politics is war, said Steve Bannon last year in the Wall Street Journal, and increasingly this looks to be true. There's nothing accidental about Trump's behavior, Andy Wigmore tells me. That press conference, it was absolutely brilliant. I could see exactly what he was doing. There's feedback going on constantly. That's what you can do with artificial intelligence. You can measure every reaction to every word. He has a word room where you fix keywords. We did it. So with immigration, there are actually keywords within that subject matter which people are concerned about. So when you are going to make a speech, it's all about how you can use these trending words, unquote. Wigmore met with Trump's team right at the start of the Leave campaign, quote, and they said the Holy Grail was artificial intelligence, unquote. Who did? Jared Kushner and Jason Miller, unquote. Jared Kushner, of course, is Trump's son-in-law. Jason Miller is another of the, quote, alt-right advisors to Donald Trump. Continuing, later when Trump picked up Mercer and Cambridge Analytica, the game changed again. Quote, it's all about the emotions. This is the big difference with what we did. They call it biopsychosocial profiling. It takes your physical, mental, and lifestyle attributes and works out how people work, how they react emotionally. Biopsychosocial profiling, I read later, is one offensive in what is called cognitive warfare, unquote. Though there are many others, recoding the mass consciousness to turn patriotism into collaborationism, unquote, explains a NATO briefing document on countering Russian disinformation written by an SCL employee. Time-sensitive professional use of media to propagate narratives, unquote, says one U.S. State Department white paper, quote, of particular importance to PSYOP personnel may be publicly and commercially available data from social media platforms, unquote. Yet another details the power of a, quote, cognitive casualty, unquote. A, quote, moral shock, unquote, that, quote, has a disabling effect on empathy and higher processes such as moral reasoning and critical thinking, unquote. Something like immigration or perhaps fake news, or, as it has now become, fake news. That's capital F, capital A, capital K, capital E, news with four exclamation points after it. How do you change the way a nation thinks? You could start by creating a mainstream media to replace the existing one with a site such as Breitbart. You could set up other websites that displace mainstream sources of news and information with your own definition of concepts like liberal media bias, like CNSnews.com, and you could give the rump mainstream media papers like the failing New York Times, unquote, what it wants, stories. Because the third prong of Mercer and Bannon's media empire is the Government Accountability Institute. Bannon co-founded it with $2 million of Mercer's money. Mercer's daughter Rebecca was appointed to the board. Then they invested in expensive, long-term investigative journalism. Skipping down. Welcome to the future of journalism in the age of platform capitalism. News organizations have to do a better job of creating new financial models. But in the gaps in between, a determined plutocrat and a brilliant media strategist can and have found a way to mold journalism to their own ends. In 2015, Steve Bannon described to Forbes how the GAI operated, employing a data scientist to trawl the dark web in the article he boasts of having access to $1.3 billion worth of supercomputers to dig up the kind of source material Google can't find. One result has been the New York Times bestseller Clinton Cash, The Untold Story of How and Why Foreign Governments and Businesses Help Make Bill and Hillary Rich, written by GAI's president Peter Schweitzer, and later turned into a film produced by Rebecca Mercer and Steve Bannon, and by the way, discussed in For the Record 906. This, Bannon explained, is how you weaponize the narrative you want with hard research, quote, facts, unquote. Skipping down, this is a strategic, long-term, and really quite brilliant play. In the 1990s, Bannon explained, conservative media couldn't take Bill Clinton down because, quote, they wound up talking to themselves in an echo chamber, unquote. As it turns out, the liberal media is doing that now. We are scattered, separate, squabbling among ourselves, and being picked off like targets in a shooting gallery. Increasingly, there's a sense that we are talking to ourselves, whether it's Mercer's Millions or other factors. Jonathan Albright's map of the news and information ecosystem shows how right-wing sites are dominating sites like YouTube and Google and, parenthetically, of course, Facebook, bound tightly together by millions of links. Is there a central intelligence to that, I ask Albright. Quote, there has to be. There has to be some type of coordination. You can see from looking at the map, from the architecture of the system, that this is not accidental. It is clearly being led by money and politics, buying into the opinion-forming media, as Serpenswalk put it. Continuing, there's been a lot of talk in the echo chamber about Bannon in the last few months, but it's Mercer who provided the money to remake parts of the media landscape. And while Bannon understands the media, Mercer understands big data. He understands the structure of the Internet. He knows how algorithms work. And skipping down. Finding the edge is what quants do. They build quantitative models that automate the processes about Mercer's investment strategy. They automate the process of buying and selling shares, and then they chase tiny gaps in the knowledge to create huge wins. Renaissance Technologies was one of the first hedge funds to invest in AI. But what it does with it, how it's been programmed to do it, is completely unknown. It is, Bloomberg reports, the blackest buck in finance. And the article goes on to talk about the investment strategies of Cambridge Analytica, and then skipping down. You can take an existing trending topic, such as fake news, and then weaponize it. You can turn it against the very media that have uncovered it. Viewed in a certain light, fake news is a suicide bomb at the heart of our information system. Strapped to the live body of us, the mainstream media. One of the things that concerns Howard most is the hundreds of thousands of sleeper bots they've found. Twitter accounts that have tweeted only once or twice and are now sitting quietly waiting for a trigger, some sort of crisis where they will rise up and come together to drown out all other sources of information. Like zombies, like zombies. How do you change the way a nation thinks? You can start by creating a mainstream media to replace the existing one with a site such as Breitbart. You can set up other websites and displace mainstream sources of news and information with your own definitions of concepts like liberal media bias, like CNSnews.com. And you could give the rump mainstream media papers like the failing New York Times what it wants. Stories. Because the third prong of Mercer and Bannon's media empire is the Government Accountability Institute. Again, skipping down, as it turns out, the liberal media is talking to itself in an echo chamber now. We are scattered, separate, squabbling among ourselves and being picked off like targets in a shooting gallery. Increasingly, there's a sense that we are talking to ourselves. And whether it's Mercer's Millions or other factors, Jonathan Albright's map of the news and information ecosystem shows how right-wing sites are dominating sites like YouTube and Google, bound tightly together by millions of links. Again, I'm recapping an important part of this discussion. In For the Records 941, 942, and 945, we noted that one of the key people behind the Bernie Sanders campaign was the former deputy national chairperson of the Democratic Party, a woman named Tulsi Gabbard, whose roots are firmly in the fascist, the dominant fascist element in the Hare Krishna cult. She is also networking with Narendra Modi's BJP and with that organization, the RSS, that is a Hindu nationalist slash fascist political party modeled after Mussolini's fascisti and the Nazis, and it was the RSS that murdered Gandhi. Steve Bannon is a big fan of Narendra Modi. Tulsi Gabbard has been networking with Narendra Modi. Narendra Modi's campaign was bankrolled in part by Pierre Omidyar of eBay, who also helped to bankroll the Maidan coup in Ukraine and has bankrolled the latest journalistic efforts of none other than Glenn Greenwald. Steve Bannon and Breitbart have been targeting India. The Daily Beast of March 2nd of 2017. Inside Steve Bannon's failed Breitbart Indian scheme, this by Aswin, A-S-A-W-I-N, Sub Sang, S-U-B-S-A-E-N-G. Before he was the president's right-hand man, Steve Bannon was bent on world domination of a different kind. If Stephen K. Bannon had his way, there would already be a Breitbart India. Well, before he entered the Trump White House with an eye toward influencing and affecting foreign policy, Bannon was already trying to wield his Breitbart media empire to influence the politics of foreign democracies in favor of right-wing nationalist upheavals. I'm not skipping down. Another country Bannon has eyed for setting up shop was India, so his right-wing news and propaganda network could lend its support to Prime Minister Narendra Modi, another nationalist, hugely controversial figure whom Bannon has come to admire greatly. Skipping down. Though Varma declined to name the, quote, lady, unquote, behind this effort, two sources who requested anonymity with knowledge of the meeting confirmed to the Daily Beast that the woman present in the room with Bannon was, in fact, Rebecca Mercer, the Republican megadonor with deep ties to Trump and Bannon. Last week, Breitbart confirmed that the Mercer family does, in fact, co-own Breitbart. And again, this is about Bannon's efforts in India. As of this moment, there is no Breitbart India. However, with Cambridge Analytica and SCL behind it, I think we can assume that the Breitbart engine is having a huge effect in India. And in For the Record 948, we noted, for example, an indication of the globalization of the Breitbart axis. An article from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency of February 17th, Lithuanian nationalists celebrate Holocaust-era Quisling and Pepe the Frog near execution site. This is about a Nazi collaborator named Kazis, K-A-C-Y-S, Skirpa, S-K-R-I-R-P-A, and he was modified to resemble Pepe the Frog in some of their graphics, indicating the globalization and contemporaryization of fascism, or the walk in the snake with Breitbart, as we have put it. More about this axis in weeks to come. This concludes For the Record program number 949, Walk in the Snake with Breitbart, part 2. This is being recorded on March 9th of the year 2017. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.